The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, now we're going to jump across the Irish Sea because as the Epstein files rumble on, so does the fallout for Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. That instantly now iconic photo of him crouching down in the back of the car is still heavily featured in the day's news, and his daughters Beatrice and Eugenie have apparently been banned from Ascot by the other members of the royal family. But should the Crown be doing more? Well, joining me now is LBC presenter Sheila Fogarty. Hello, Sheila.
Hi, Becla. Hi.
You've written such an interesting piece on this. You say that King Charles may have to consider abdication, which, you know, takes your breath away, really, when you read it in the first instance. But when you go through it, it does start to make sense. Will you take us through your logic for making that suggestion?
I will. And I had the exact same experience you've described reading it when I was writing it. I was thinking, is this too much? Am I off piste here? Is this a bit extreme? Or, you know, like an extreme notion as things stand. And I think as things stand, we're not there yet. But the weekend after Prince Andrew's or former Prince Andrew's arrest, I couldn't shake this at all. So I wrote a piece about it. And here's my logic. My logic is that as things stand, King Charles is safe and sound for now, I would say. And I don't come at the suggestion that he abdicates with any sort of animus for him to abdicate particularly. I just think it might become inevitable. And this is what I think the circumstances would be where it became inevitable. He has said he will openly allow and support all the appropriate authorities in their investigations. And as I said in that piece, that opens many, many doors to the appropriate authorities, be that the police or Parliament. And I think if any of the things that they find behind those doors or in those files or in those drawers or whatever, wherever they look, and let's not forget 5 days of searches took place in Windsor and Sandringham. I think depending on what they find, if they find evidence that both the late Queen, Queen Elizabeth, and now King Charles, then Prince Charles, knew the scale and nature of Andrew's alleged crimes or at least behaviour, and actively tried to cover it up or to soften the blow for him in a way that just went beyond normal familial support, then he's in trouble. And I think that is extremely feasible. Mm-hmm. And I think at that point, he, with a heavy heart, would have to look closely at what that was going to do to the monarchy. And I say in the piece that he needs to pull the Benedict lever. And I had in mind the reason Pope Benedict did the extraordinary thing and resigned from the papacy. And it was to save the papacy because he couldn't. And I think I can envisage a moment where Charles cannot save the monarchy.
That's so interesting, but it does, as I said at the beginning, it makes logical sense when I read through the questions that you have posed, like what did the palace know about the Epstein comings and goings? Did his armed protection officers witness anything? If so, why didn't they speak up or feel empowered to speak up?
And or be enabled to speak up.
Yes. You
know? They may have been disabled.
And the money, the 12 million.
who the hell paid that?
Who paid it?
That's what
for?
I want to know. And when there was a newspaper article about 10 days ago that broke down the money and said 10 million of it came from the Queen and 1.5 million came as a sort of a last minute came from King Charles. And then a few other members of the royal family contributed. And you just had this image of a family whip round, you know, we need another 2 million, you know. And the palace or a palace source, it wasn't a formal palace statement, but a palace source was very quick to come out and say, that's not true. The king never contributed any money to that fund. So they were very quick to put space between themselves and that report, you know. But where that money came from still isn't known.
So are you saying that abdication might be considered not because there was outright wrongdoing by King Charles, but because the health of the monarchy depends on it?
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. And I think there may be, you know, we may conclude that there was wrongdoing or at least an omission or several omissions so serious as to amount to wrongdoing. Because I think of the Benedict example, and I also allude to the Spanish royal family. We have King Felipe, who's 58 years of age, his wife, Queen Letizia. They took over from a King Juan Carlos, who abdicated, and he abdicated because of corruption and sex scandals. It was very sort of explicit and obvious that he had to step down. I think it would be different with Charles based on what I think has gone on here, which isn't a sort of brutal criminality by the king or anything like that. I think it's just a case of if your omission or your active support amounted to hiding serious contraventions of what is supposed to happen, then that really does beg big questions about the authority of the monarchy and also the moral rigor of it, which is without doubt in question.
It's a fascinating theory, Sheila, and it's always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for being with us. That is Sheila Fogarty.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.